available in more homes than the Pac-12 Network, we are the Podcast of Champions. I'm David Woods from Bruin Report Online.
And here he goes, Miles Jack.
And I'm Ryan Abraham from USCFootball.com.
Liner going to try to sneak it ahead. Touchdown, SC!
We are the Podcast of Champions. Welcome, everyone, back to the Podcast of Champions. I'm David Woods from Bruin Report Online, the UCLA site on the 24/7 Sports Network.
I'm Ryan Abraham from USCFootball.com. That's the USC site over on the 24/7 Sports Network. And together, we make the Podcast of Champions, talking all things Pac-12 football, at least for the rest of this weekend. Yes, it's the final weekend of the regular season of Pac-12 football play. We got to preview it.
We have to.
Yeah, we're not on YouTube.
No.
We're both traveling. I guess David's back.
I'm at home.
But he was in Hawaii, one of his many, many vacations that he takes all the time.
Yes.
I'm a worker. I don't like to go places. I just stay at home and grind. David just goes to Hawaii all the time.
I worked every day I was in Hawaii. Every single day.
Oh.
Every day. Watching basketball games. I mean, it's not the worst thing in the world, but it is.
Yeah. I'm in Western Pennsylvania. I was outside my childhood home till I was 11 years old, a little bit earlier today. So aunts, uncles, cousins, a lot of relatives here. My parents came in from Massachusetts, so that's where I spent my Thanksgiving. Hope everyone had a wonderful Thanksgiving. David, I hope you had a wonderful Thanksgiving.
I had a wonderful Thanksgiving. And I hope everyone out there also had wonderful Thanksgivings. What do you give thanks for, Ryan, here on this show?
The number one thing, obviously, is your glorious beard. That's what I am most thankful for. Without your beard, we don't have a podcast. So
true.
I'm very thankful for that. My health, the family, for sure. I'm thankful for the 75% off sale that 24/7 Sports is doing right now. If you're a member or not a member of any of the sites, you should jump on that right away for Black Friday. I'm not a super Black Friday guy.
No, I'm only a Black Friday guy when it comes to buying subscriptions to 24/7 Sports. As Ryan just said, get in there. If you are not currently a subscriber to one of these sites, or even if you are and you want to have a double name and you want to sign up with a different credit card and have a different username, and just reply to yourself over and over again on the message boards, as I've seen at least a handful of crazy people do over the years. Get in there. Get in there right now. This is the best deal that any of the 247 sites offer. 75% off. That's a little under $27 for a full year of all the inside, info and analysis, but also access to those delightful message boards with all of your crazy fan compatriots. It's a great opportunity to kind of dip your toe in, but like your full foot, because you get a full year for, I don't know, what's $25 these days? $27. That's like a burger, right? Like you get like a
burger, like fries, and a milkshake. Yeah.
Yeah. Come on. Get in there. The water's nice.
You get a whole year, which is great. And then when you're done, if you love it, you've spent a year knowing all about your team. Once you go to like the regular price, it's almost like free because you get Paramount Plus for free after that. So the whole streaming, it's like a whole streaming channel with all those cool shows. So it is a really good deal. So hopefully you guys can take.
It's almost like we're giving you money to do it. Really. Fundamentally, that's how it works. Don't do the math.
What are you thankful for, David?
Our lovely listeners, every last one of them.
Yep.
There are four of them. And they listen so frequently. Like, it's amazing to me that our numbers say many thousands of people listen, because you and I both know there's only four. And so that means that there is a person out there who listens to the show several thousand times every week.
Yeah.
And that's just, you know, that blows you away. So to you four out there, very much thankful for you and everything you bring to the show.
It is awesome. Yeah, that's great. And I appreciate everyone. Sorry we can't do YouTube this week. And hopefully you guys liked my solo show that I told you David wouldn't listen to, and he did not.
I listened to it the first few minutes.
That was good. Someone asked about your LSAT score.
Somebody asked about my LSAT score. Yeah, so my brother shared that with me because my brother listened to the show. So was that a question in the email?
It was an email. I'm looking for it right now. I can't seem to find it, but.
Oh, I found it. All right. Legal affairs from Bob. Since we're on the topic of legal issues in the Pac-12, I vaguely remember Dave saying that he took the LSAT in the past. Just wondering, what did you score on it and what year was it? Bob, the year was 2006. It was the December, I think, 2nd LSAT. Might have been December 1st. I can't remember which date it was. Whatever date it was the same day as UCLA beating USC 13-9. And I missed the first half of 13-9 to go take the LSAT. And then as I got in my car, I had the decision from Southwestern Law School to either go up to the Rose Bowl, which would take a while to park and do the whole thing, get into the stadium to watch probably the last quarter, or go way back to Westwood, which wouldn't take as long, to watch the entire second half. And portending my future as somebody who has prioritized TV viewing over being there in person, I went back to Westwood, watched the entire second half. It was glorious, and we were banging pots and pans in the streets afterwards. Broke my spatula, which was the equivalent of burning down my kitchen for a college student. And what did I score? I scored a 172, on
that. Good, or is that bad? Is that great? Is
it? That's pretty good. It's pretty good. It's 99th percentile.
Okay, that's pretty good then, yes.
Yeah, it was. So to teach the
LSAT. What are you doing with your law? What are you doing with the law degree now that you got? What's your deal?
So with that LSAT score, I then taught, I tutored the LSAT for a while. And for that company, I believe the minimum score was a 170. You needed to be like 98th percentile or higher. So that was the impetus.
Wait, you were above that. So what would that would get you? I'm sorry, that was.
Sorry, what?
Oh, what did you need for the 98th percentile? What did you have to get for that?
170. And I was. So what would that?
Right, but what was the requirement of 170? Who said that was the requirement or what?
Oh, the company. So the company to teach the LSAT, you needed to. Oh, okay. Yeah.
You had no. You didn't want to go to law school.
Well, I did for a while, and then I learned soon after getting my LSAT score. So first, I took the LSAT on kind of a lark. Like, I was just like, oh, you know, I do pretty well on standardized tests. Let me check this thing out. Crazy person behavior. And then I did pretty well on it. I'm like, oh, okay, maybe I'll go to law school. And then I realized that you actually had to have a good GPA, too. Like, it was a bit of a formula. And my GPA at the time was, that was the quarter where I got a letter saying I was subject to dismissal. So I think that was the quarter where I had a 1.0, which brought my overall GPA down to somewhere in the 2.3s, I think. 2.47, I think, was the low point.
Wow.
Yeah.
247. It's like a.
Yeah. No, it was a nice little, it was a nice little portending of the future.
It's awesome. Like, I don't know, like, obviously you're good at standardized testing. Like, I'm pretty naturally good at stuff, but stuff sometimes you don't care about and you could just do it. The people that would be like, their parents were lawyers, their grandparents were lawyers, their whole lives they wanted to go to law school and they just couldn't. They studied, they were tutored in the LSAT. Oh, and they
just ate shit on the LSAT?
And they're the biggest shit burger ever.
Yeah.
And you show up hungover and were like, okay, yeah, for $50, I'll go take the LSAT. Yeah, I'll see how I do. Oh, 98th percentile? Oh, yeah. This would be so pissed at you.
I'm not bragging because it's a ridiculous thing to brag about. And also, again, I got a 2.47 as a history major through 4 years as a GPA. I literally looked at like three logic games from a practice book and was like, oh, okay, I've done these before. And that was the entirety of my prep for the LSAT. I did that the night before. I looked at three of them and was like, oh, okay, I get it. And I had like friends who were paying, I'm not kidding, literally thousands of dollars to prepare for the test that I basically took with.
That you aced.
That I took with like half an hour of preparation. It was cool. It was a fun time.
Hungover. Perfect. That's awesome. I love that. Yeah. They must have cursed you. Like, I can't believe you. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it was a little bit of that, a little bit of, you know, there was, yeah, it was fun. It was a good time. College was fun.
I don't know if this is legal or not, but could you take the test for somebody? Like, I don't know.
No, you can't do that. There have been some scandals with people doing that. You're also not supposed to take the test. Like, there's like an ethical component where you are not supposed to take the test just for taking the test purposes. You are supposed to take it only if you have the intention of going to law school. And so technically, I think I didn't, but then I did. So it worked out. But then I didn't again. So
you're not supposed to take it to ace it, and then you could teach it even though you don't want to go to law school.
Right.
Right. That's right. What you did. Okay.
Yeah, I took it to tutor. fun times. All right. Well, we got to talk about Pac-12 football, right, on this show?
So we're remote. We don't have any sound effects or anything. We do need to preview. I don't know if there's any kind of newsy stuff. It was Thanksgiving. So I don't think anything really happened. I kind of went over a lot of newsy stuff.
Came out with a really interesting statement to John Canzano. Did you talk about that already?
I did not. What was the statement?
So he was very kind of frank and basically saying, you know, my agent has a job to do. He wouldn't be doing his job if he's not seeing what's out there for me. You know, I pay him a good portion of my contract, so he better be doing some stuff. But it was not a no, it was a yes, obviously I'm looking at other stuff. And then his AD, Scott Barnes, came out and said, well, you know, we're doing our best and we're working with Jonathan on all this stuff. And, you know, essentially we're doing everything we can. But that one seems interesting. And then Jed Fish's name is also getting talked about with a lot of open jobs, including Texas A&M. So a lot of interesting things going about with two of the hot commodities in the Pac-12 coaching ranks.
They talk about the Pac-2 a little bit with like the lawsuit and like Wilner had done some reporting. I don't know. I kind of glanced over it, but it sounds like if they do this Mountain West schedule agreement that the two rivalry games, I think one was a little further along than the other, but I think they call it like the Crosstown Showdown and the Territorial Cup up there for Washington, Oregon. I believe that's the names, but the, it sounded like those were getting close to being finalized, or they could keep those going. So I think there was some animosity initially. I don't know if you'd seen anything new from that, David, but it sounded like I'd kind of talked about it a little bit, but it wasn't final, but it seemed like it was getting there.
Yeah, I haven't seen anything new. So, yeah, kind of the same deal.
So that's Oregon, Oregon State, which is territorial. And
this is, Washington. I think... I want to say that's the Territorial Cup, and then Washington is that one's big game.
Big game with no the, yeah, not the Crosstown right. Showdown is, I think, Utah and Colorado, which, you know,
yes, the Crosstown rivalry between Utah and Colorado.
Remember, it's the Apple Cup with Arizona State because
there we go, right.
Lot of apple trees in the desert, and yeah.
And that's then the Civil War between Cal and Stanford.
Yes. Which famously. Actually kind of works.
Yeah, famously the Civil War. My niece was in the stare down. You know the weird stare down the Cal people do with the Stanford people?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, she was in the stare down.
That's like one of the weirdest nerdy things
super
ever.
Super weird. Yeah. Super insular, weird Bay Area genius schools. Okay. Well, there's that. Do we have any other breaking news? Any other news of any kind?
I had like my favorite childhood donut earlier.
Oh, okay.
this place called Orem's in Beaver Falls, Pennsylvania. Famous. It's only local. They don't even open on Sundays, which is weird. But it's basically like, you know, if you go to like Voodoo Donuts or some sidecar donuts, like the fancy donut places, they're like $6 a donut. Like, it's insane. Like, these are $1.50. It's like, you know, like the custard filling or cream filling donuts. And if, you know, if you spackle a wall, like the kind of tool you use to like spackle, that's what they put like buttercream icing on top of the donut with. So it's very me. It's very sweet and over the top. And I love them. So I got some extras. I'm freezing them and bringing them with me. So it's great.
Nice. Awesome.
And Bill Orem. So he's a columnist up in Oregon, Bill Orem. He's like a rival of John Canzano up there, but he used to be in LA. I knew him, like he'd come to the Lakers and stuff. And he texted me, he's like, he saw my Instagram story. He's like, I've always wanted to go, because it's his last name. But so I might try to get him a t-shirt or something.
It's very sweet of you.
Very, very breaking news.
I loved it. I loved every bit of it. I don't know. Should we preview some games?
Let's preview some freaking games, because we got a game coming up this evening.
Yeah. This I'm going to be at Medieval Times. But I will be paying attention to this. Why will I be at Medieval Times? Who knows? But I will be there.
This with your kids, or is this with friends? Or
my cousin is celebrating her 27th birthday at Medieval Times. So I will be taking. Yeah, it's beautiful. I will be taking my children. Yes.
You will take your children. Very nice. Okay. Yeah. So we don't have the soundboard. But I would say the games are gonna start this Friday night. We have number 16.
Oregon State.
Beavers, though.
Good State. Oh, Beavers. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Okay. I'm gonna get it.
Do you want me? I'll do the school and you do the sound effect. How about that?
Okay, that's good.
And we have number 6, Oregon Ducks.
Quack, 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 quack. This is 5:30 p.m. on Big Fox, number 16 at number 6. Wait, I didn't even put the spreads in here. What am I doing? Ryan, what am I doing?
I don't know.
Dude, I am operating at such a level right now. It's truly, I don't know if impressive is the word. Is impressive the word?
You had a bad picking week last week after 5-1, 5-1, you went 2-4.
Yeah, I think I'm rattled.
I've been steady, 3-3 here.
Yeah.
Three. Kind of bad, right. but I did beat you last week, so that was nice.
That is true. Oregon is a 14-point home favorite over your Oregon State Beavers. This is a tricky one for me. Oregon State's obviously a good team. Maybe not quite risen to the heights of what some might have thought they were, but a good team. They did beat Oregon last year, but that was in Corvallis, if we remember. Do we remember? Do you remember?
They threw the ball a lot, right? Like, they just decided to go pass happy in that game. Was that?
Yeah, successfully threw it a ton. So,
but then they stopped, and they were just like, because they were up a big, they just said, we're going to run it 19 straight times. I figured the game was over at that point. It wasn't.
You weren't still executing a massive comeback at that point, right?
No, right? That could not possibly have been the case.
Boston, Washington last week, very neck and neck game, very close. We both got that one right. But lost to Washington last week. 14 points feels like a lot, but Oregon's also been a buzzsaw at home. So I don't know. I mean, so Oregon. All right. So what they've done lately is they beat the hell out of Arizona State. They beat the hell out of Cal. They beat but not beat the hell out of USC. Who have they played close with? Washington State, sort of. USC, Washington. Sort of. Washington, they lost to. Give me Oregon State. It's just too many points.
I'm kind of with you, but I'm wondering if I should go against you. Here's the thing. It's like who's Oregon? So I had a question last week. Like, what was Oregon's signature win? You know, like, oh, you beat Utah. Like, they beat the crap out of Utah in Utah.
I thought their signature win was losing by 3 to Washington.
that's the kind of, that's all we kind of talk about is that, you know, like they beat USC, who's 7-5, you know. Utah's looked okay at times, but then sometimes they look like crap. I feel like when Oregon gets teams, and you should give credit to Oregon for this, but like they've made the teams that sort of can look like crap or play pretty good, they look like crap against Oregon. Like Colorado yeah. looked like crap. Arizona State looked like crap. Utah looked like absolute freaking dog shit. So you have to give credit to Oregon for that. But I think some of it too is like, well, I don't, I'm not sure exactly what's going on. We just haven't seen this Oregon team beat like a great team. You know, they just haven't had, I mean, Utah could have been good. I don't know. You know what? I'm going to go with the Ducks here. I feel like revenge is on their mind. I don't, I'm not going to catch you, but I don't mind going against you if it's sort of like a, I'm not really sure. And I could kind of go either way.
Yeah. I mean, it's all defensible and Oregon's been mostly blowing teams out. I just think Oregon State probably more in the category of, you know, quality teams, which are, I don't know, some variation of Washington, Utah, and USC. And the only one they really smoked was Utah. I don't know. I could go either way.
This one, you know, like if I'm betting this, I would almost go Oregon's either going to like blow them out or I'm going to take Oregon State money line because they're a 14-point dog. Like, I feel like if it's close, Oregon State
has a chance to win.
Yeah, like I'm not sure if this is going to be like a 3-point Oregon win. I think if Oregon's like on, then they just blow them out. You know, like if they just play like they played against Colorado or Utah, or I mean, even against USC, they sort of like they won by more than nine. They won by nine, but yeah, like it was more than that. Like they were winning by three scores, you know, late in or middle of fourth quarter, whatever it was.
Per the SP Plus, Oregon now has the number one offense in the country.
Yeah, I mean, Bo Nix has been he's been really efficient, but he's still, I think he's top five in the country into like shortest distance his passes have flown. Like he still throws near the line of scrimmage, but they break some plays and all that. Let's take the Ducks here, knowing that like Oregon State could certainly come in and win. But I feel like they're either going to blow them out or it'll be like close, you know?
Yeah.
So I'll take the, you know, it's a coin flip. I'll take the blowing out side. You take the it's close side. If it's close, you win, and they blow them out, I win.
Perfect. Beautiful.
All right. Let's move to Saturday. We got a couple games that are starting, you know, right around lunchtime. We have unranked Colorado Buffaloes. They're going to go on the road against unranked Utah Utes.
Yeah, this is 12 p.m. on Pac-12 Network. Colorado at Utah. Utah's a 3-touchdown home favorite. Give me those Utes. No questions. Questions about it.
I feel like I'm going with you on this. This is the Crosstown Showdown, right? Is that what we
Yeah, did? This is the Crosstown Showdown.
Oregon State was
Territorial Cup.
Territorial Cup. Okay, yes.
Yeah. So Utah, they are you know, reeling a bit. They've lost two in a row on the road to Washington and Arizona, so you might think, oh, you know, they might struggle in this one. Colorado's ass. They've become ass. Do we even know if Shedeur Sanders is going to play?
I don't know. Yeah, like this, Colorado's just fallen off a cliff, and this is in Salt Lake City. Colorado's kept things close a bunch.
The last four games, can I give you some stats just real quick? For Colorado?
Yeah, like, have they won any of those games or not?
They've lost four in a row, but do you want to know what the highest post-game win expectancy they had in any of those games, according to Bill Connolly's numbers? 3%.
Oh, that's bad.
So they've been 97%, 98%, 97%, and then last week, 100% by Washington State.
Washington State, like, so I had that one right. I took Washington State. You had Colorado. But I, you know, I kind of felt they could keep it close. They've been keeping stuff within a touchdown, but obviously that was not. I don't know what the motivation factor is going to be. Like the shine of is, you know, they're going to regroup in the offseason. This just seems like we got one more thing to do before we get to reshuffle the deck and figure out what the hell we're doing. Utah got the announcement that Cam Rising is coming back, so I think they'll be fired up a little bit. 21 points is a lot, but I don't think it's enough.
Yeah, and so the last update was that he's day-to-day uncertain for Utah. Shedeur Sanders. So
yeah.
If he can't play. Like,
yeah. He was like halftime. It was like, I think ankle and knee, or no, I mean ankle and arm. Yeah, ankle and arm injury is what.
Yeah, he's taken some abuse this year. So, yeah, I think Utah will blow him out.
All right. And the next game, just 30 minutes later, we have number 15, Arizona Wildcats.
What's Wildcats? What is it? No, it's like
I think that was that. I think you're right. I think you got it.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Cool.
Yeah. And then at unranked, Arizona State Sun Devils.
Okay. This game is at 12:30 on ESPN, number 15, Arizona at Arizona State. Arizona State is a 10.5-point home dog. Looking at what Arizona has done, they've won 5 straight games. They've covered in 1, 2, 3, 4.
Four.
They've covered in 4 of the 5. The only one they didn't was on the road at Colorado. I think ASU is going to throw out, you know, all the bells and whistles. But I think, I don't know, I get kind of the vibe that they've maybe shot their wad a little bit. That there's just not a whole lot of juice left in this tank. You know, they had to run a special teams formation to beat UCLA, and then just got murked by Oregon. I think Arizona's they're just a good team. And I think Arizona State isn't. And so Arizona State is playing for pride in this game, whereas Arizona is playing for like legitimately an opportunity to play in the Pac-12 championship game. Now they'll have information going into this one that whether or not they're actually able to do that, but I still think they're going to be psyched up for this game and this opportunity to win 9 games. So yeah, give me Arizona. I think they're going to win and cover.
Yeah, I'm with you here. Screw you, ASU. I took you in the 23.5 points last week, figuring you would beat UCLA. All you have to do is have somewhat of a pulse against Oregon and you'll, you know, lose by 21 and it's fine. Nope. You were doing that in the first quarter. Like, didn't even show up.
Yes.
Against that was horrific. Horrifically bad. I think Arizona, you know, they put a little salt in the wounds. They scored a touchdown late last week against Utah after the Utes like scored and went for 2 and were calling timeouts and stuff. And they throw like a 50-yard pass for a touchdown late in the game. I think Arizona would want to pile it on. It's not like a committee thing where you need to look good, but they are playing for something. Now, they might not be by the time this game comes, because if Oregon wins, then they're out. So there's that factor, right? Like, we already know what's going to happen to Oregon State in the, what was that one? That's the, not the Apple, which, oh, that's big game. Is that big game we call that? Or no, that's Washington State. Whatever we call that. Forget what the joke was. But yeah.
This one's the Apple Cup.
This one's the Apple Cup. But the Oregon State one, what did we call that one again?
That's the Territorial Cup.
Territorial. Okay. Yes. Okay. So the Territorial Cup will already have happened by the time this plays.
Correct.
So, but I still think Arizona's playing for something. You know, potential New Year's Six Bowl kind of thing. You know, there's more, I think, that at stake for Arizona. So I feel like they're going to come out and play. ASU didn't show up last week. Did they show up this week? I don't know. I'm not banking on it. So give me the Wildcats. If it was like 17, I'd think about it. But at 10.5, I think I'm going Arizona.
Yeah. And, I mean, ASU, like, we're making a lot out of what they did against UCLA. But they've gotten now absolutely smoked in 2 of 3 games. So the idea of like Kenny Dillingham having this like magic elixir to keep him close, kind of falling apart here at the end of the season, and not like anything against Dillingham. I think they've just played some much better teams, and Arizona is also in that category of very good teams.
Okay. Let's see. Next up. Well, it's going on at the same time too. We have unranked Washington State Cougars.
Meow.
Very good. And the number four ranked Washington Huskies.
Ruff, 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 ruff.
1 p.m. on Big Fox, Washington State traveling to number four, Washington. Which game is this one?
This is the Crosstown Showdown.
Is this the, no, I thought that was Utah, Colorado. This is
big. Oh,
game.
Yeah.
This is the big game.
Big game, yeah.
All right. Washington. Washington is a 15.5 point home favorite over the Washington State Cougars. Give me Washington, obviously. I don't really understand this one that well. Washington State's been playing a little bit better football of late. I just kind of ignore the result of the Colorado game. Maybe that's foolish on my part. But, you know, Colorado was without a quarterback for most of that bloodbath. And I just look at what Washington State did for many of the weeks previous, which was lay down and die. Yeah, I think Washington's going to put a profound beating on them. I think it's going to be like, 21, 28 points, something like that. So, yeah, give me the Huskies.
We know that the Huskies are going to the Pac-12 championship game no matter what.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, they definitely want to make it to the playoff, and they need to be undefeated because if they lose, then you still have a chance. I feel like there's a lot of motivation in this one. It does concern me that Wazoo showed up. They have a pulse. But the biggest concern I have, David, in picking these games week after week is like, okay, I pick Arizona State to, I pick UCLA to like handle Arizona State in the Rose Bowl. And for whatever reason, Arizona State shows up and UCLA doesn't. I'm like, okay, all right. I think USC can handle a really reeling UCLA team that scored 17 points in their previous two games. Well, USC doesn't show up, and UCLA plays like they've not played all season. We've seen this a lot, you know. Could Washington State just, like, keep the momentum they have from last week, throttling Colorado, and give Washington a game that Washington wins, but it's like a three-point game, and it was like, this is an amazing Apple Cup, and, it, you know, it came down to a field goal, like, I could see that happening, but I think it's more likely that Washington just kind of boat races them.
Yeah.
It's making me uncomfortable because, like, I could picture myself watching this game on Big Fox going, oh, shit, it's close. And it's like, not only you have to win by two scores, you have to win by three scores here. It's 15.5. I mean, I guess technically it's two, but with 16. But I'm still, this is concerning me. And I almost want to just, you know what, give me the Cougs, which means Washington's going to come out and just throttle them. You know, like, you need what Oregon did last week when you're trying to cover a big spread. When it's like, oh, he traded punts, you're like, oh, there's no way you're going to cover us now. You know, like, yeah. You start the game, you're like, oh, traded punts, no way. Or you need to do what Oregon does, and just, like, every time they touch the ball, it was a touchdown. And you're like, all right, I don't know if Washington's going to do that, because they've won, but there's been a lot of close ones. So just in my rooting interest, I don't want to be like rooting when it's like, oh, they got to try to like somehow score two more touchdowns in the fourth quarter. Like, ugh, I hate that. So I'm going to take the points.
Yeah, that seems fair.
And it's just like when I picked Arizona State last week, and I knew from the first score, okay, Oregon's going to cover this. All right, that's fine. I'm not worried about it. But, like, if it was the other way, then you're, like, sweating it to the end. Like, are they going to, okay, need a pick six now and they'll cover, you know. No, screw that. I'd rather just know and just be like, all right, I'm out. Washington's going to kill them. That's fine.
Galen DeBoer is 22-2 at Washington.
Amazing.
It's pretty stunning.
All right. Next game, this is an out-of-conference game, if you like those. we've got the number 18, Northampton Fighting Irish.
Give me my pot of gold!
They're going to be on the road at, you didn't write a rank, is Stanford ranked or not? I don't think they're ranked. Unranked, Stanford Cardinal.
4 p.m. on the Pac-12 Network. Number 18, Notre Dame, traveling to Stanford. Stanford is a 25.5 point home dog. Can we don't, I mean, but again, we have to appreciate the fact that this game is on the Pac-12 network. This will be the last, the last ever football game on the Pac-12 network, right?
Last ever live football game on the Pac-12 network. Yes.
That is so absolutely beautiful that they're sticking Notre Dame on here. A ranked Notre Dame team has to play on the last ever game on the Pac-12 network. It is so beautiful.
Ranked unranked matchup last week, like Utah at Arizona was on the Pac-12 network last week at 11:30 a.m. like, come on,
this is so great. Stanford has been more competitive lately. I mean, if you ignore that Oregon State result, they lost by 12 to Cal, beat Washington State, lost by 9 to Washington. I mean, the last six games of the season, they've only had two games where they were like no chance blowouts from the beginning. Notre Dame, are they capable of doing it? Let's look at their results. They've lost three games this year to Ohio State, Louisville, and Clemson, all top 25 teams. They beat Duke. They beat the hell out of USC, beat Pitt. Two of their three losses are on the road. Their other road game, they won by 7. This is another road game. They have to go to Stanford. Stanford is the second worst team they've played this year after Central Michigan, who they beat by 24. This is just too many points. It's just too many. I don't like taking Stanford here, but it's just too many damn points. So I got to take Stanford here. I don't feel good about it. I don't like it, but it's the position I'm in based on the data available. And the thing is, like, Notre Dame's not some world beater. If this was Oregon coming to Stanford and Stanford was getting 25, I would probably take Oregon, but Notre Dame's been fine. They're not great. So yeah, give me the Cardinal.
Yeah, this is the last ever game. I have to pick the Pac-12 team here, obviously.
Obviously.
It's the last ever Pac-12 game and the Pac-12 network. And it's not a Pac-12 game, but it involves a Pac-12 team. And you said Notre Dame beat Central Michigan by 24. Like, well, hopefully Stanford's better than Central Michigan. Maybe not. But we've seen, you know, Denver kind of screwed me last week in big game because I thought that they would be able to cover, and they did not. So maybe, you know, if you can't get up for that one, are you going to get up for this one? Maybe. I don't know. But I got to go with Pac-12. 25.5 seems like a lot. Even if Stanford just sort of like sleepwalks through this, like, is Notre Dame going to beat them by 4 touchdowns? Like, I don't know. So that's so many points. I'm going to take Stanford.
Yeah, that seems fair.
Right. Our last game, this is like the battle for the fight song, I guess. I'm not sure. It is the final Pac-12 After Dark game. We have the California Golden Bears. Roar. You're going to be at UCLA Bruin. Roar. Nice.
7:30 p.m. on ESPN. Cal traveling to UCLA. UCLA is a 9-point home favorite. UCLA, elite defense. You know, the offense exists sometimes. It's a pretty good rushing attack, passing game. You know, it's there. They throw it. But the defense is truly elite. Cal has a pretty good offense. They run the ball really well. Fernando Mendoza gives them a little bit of life at quarterback. It's a truly horrible defense and absolutely god-awful special teams. I think UCLA, if the same team shows up in this game that showed up against USC, which is always the question, they should blow them out. Now, the question is motivation. How motivated will UCLA be versus a Cal team that is playing for a bowl game? You know, Cal's 5-6. A win here guarantees a bowl berth. UCLA, not so much to play for. I mean, looking at it, I'd be shocked if UCLA ends up in anything other than the LA Bowl. I don't even know if they're going to move bowl games based on the result of this one. So there's that motivation component, which adds a little bit, but I just, looking at the matchups, it's hard for me to imagine UCLA not winning by more than 9. So give me UCLA. Yeah.
Okay. I kind of do like the motivation factor for Cal.
Right.
And they can score. When I feel like confident that the Cal offense is going to like score some points and keep you in a game, they kind of blow. Yeah. And then when I think like, oh, Stanford, you know, Stanford's getting points at home. Yeah, they'll be, no, Cal blows them. Well, wins by a couple touchdowns.
Have you picked the Cal game correctly this year?
I don't know. Let's go back and look. So last week I had Stanford. So no. The week before, previous okay, week, I had Cal. Yes. Yeah, right. we both had Cal. Yeah, okay. So yeah, give me Cal. I'll take Cal on this one. You know, did UCLA like sort of blow its wad last week? Like they look like ass. Win. Are you gonna go back to looking like ass? I don't know.
Yeah.
They seem to be really up for the USC game. Like, that was a big deal. Was that the bowl game? Did they give a crap about playing Cal? Maybe. I don't know. I'm not sure. But it's a bunch of points. If I'm unsure, I'm just going to take the points. I'll take Cal, see if Mendoza can throw a whole bunch of touchdowns or something, see what happens here. But give me the sturdy Golden Bears.
Sturdiest of Golden Bears. All right. So we have picked differently for those keeping track at home on two games this week. The game tonight, Oregon State, Oregon. Ryan has Oregon. I have Oregon State. And the game tomorrow night, UCLA for me, covering 9, Cal for Ryan. But everyone else was picking the same.
No, I've watched Washington State also.
Wow, look at you.
Did 3 this week, yeah.
Damn, okay. All right. Ryan has Washington State and I have Washington. Okay, fine. Interesting. 3.
I want to get above 3-3. Just 3-3 for weeks. So it's like just sitting, you know, we still have a losing week like last week, like somebody did. That's fine.
It is fine. You want to know why? Because I am still 17 games above 500.
Insane.
Yeah.
All right. So why don't we do this? Take a quick break. We have a few questions. We have some voicemails we're not going to be able to play, but we can kind of maybe summarize them.
Yeah.
We'll get out of here. So we'll be back in a minute.
And we're back.
All righty. Yeah. We're back here on the Podcast of Champions. We got a few questions to get to, David.
Where do we start? I don't know where you left off.
I think the new voicemail from Hutch.
Okay. Would be a funny one. It's from our friend Alan in St. Louis.
Yeah. Maybe did I play this? I think you might have played this one.
Did you?
Did I record on Sunday or was that Monday?
You recorded on Sunday.
Okay, so this would have come in after I recorded.
Yeah. I've got no idea because it's a lot of... Yeah.
Yeah, I see some Jackson Dart in there. I see some South Central. Yeah, we might have to play that. Sorry, Alan in St. Louis. We might have to...
might have to wait. We'll play it again.
Say he's going back to his day job of making fake accounts.
That's true.
Almost 5-star reviews on Apple Podcasts, so we do appreciate that.
Do appreciate that about you. All right, I'll read Joshua's then.
Okay.
Perseverance. Hey, Raya and David. I'm assuming that's not a typo, and he's just calling you Raya now. It's Josh from Denver. I'd like to congratulate UCLA on a great rivalry win. This is the result of lots of hard work and sticking with guys, even when others think they should move on. Patience and perseverance are what has led to the Bell coming back to Westwood. As for USC, they are 2 2-point conversion plays away from finishing 5-7 on the year and are losing the best player in college football. Please tell me, Ryan, if you think Riley has a lot of changes to make to get the program headed in the right direction, then how can you think he's still the right man for the job? When he came to USC, he set it up exactly the way he wanted with the staff he hired. Now the sentiment is, if he gets rid of all those guys, he's suddenly going to get better?
Thanks, Josh. You never know if he's going to be the right guy for the job, but with his resume that you've hired, he's the person you want to come in and fix the program. It's not like he took over something that was a well-oiled machine. We had heard from like one assistant coach that said No one's going to want to take this job once they look under the hood. There was a lot of problems. And I think, you know, victim of his own success, going from 4-8 to 11 wins. I think there was a, you know, they got some turnover luck. They didn't have as tough of a schedule. I don't think they were as good as, like, they were really close to making a playoff last year, and I don't think they were that good. I think they're better than their record showed this year, and they've just absolutely sucked ass. So I feel like, you know, getting changes on the defensive side of the ball is big. But, you know, you're still trying to build up that infrastructure of trying to be a winning program. He might not be the guy for the job, but I don't think you could possibly know after 2 years the kind of dumpster fire he took over. So, yeah, I think, I mean, you hire a guy like that for what he's done, and it's not like what he did Chip Kelly time, where it was like years ago. This was, he just got done with this at a place like Oklahoma, and you have hopes that he can do it at USC. I mean, he won a Heisman Trophy. Like, that doesn't come along every year. So that should buy you a little time. But, I mean, just what he's done, I think, you know, you have to give him a chance. And we'll see. You know, 2 years from now, you might be like, yep, he never got it going. He just couldn't get it turned around. Like, certainly possible, but I don't think you could possibly know after 2 years, like, nope, he's not the right guy.
Yeah, I mean, I think all of what you're saying is true. I would say the Josh, you could be right. Like, you could be able to look back on this and say, oh, yeah, we knew. Because there's data, right? At this point, you're 2 years in, and you know, you had an elite quarterback and went 18-8 with him, right? And the defense didn't get figured out, and he hired the wrong defensive coordinator. And you might be 2 years down the line, and he hires a new guy who also has the same issues. And then the stuff we've been positing about Lincoln Riley, that, you know, maybe defenses just aren't going to work with him, we can say, oh, that stuff is true now. But we can't, it's hard to say that right now. Like, you don't know that, because maybe they go and hire some really good defensive coordinator, and suddenly they're a top 25 defense. But is there concerning data at this point? Certainly. I mean, I don't think you can look at it and say a team that went, you know, whatever it was, 11-3, even with, obviously, as Ryan said, a lot of turnovers luck, which we talked about last year. And they don't have that turnovers luck this year. You know, fumbles are not bouncing their way as much. But still, the defense regressed from year to year. So that's a concern. And, you know, I mean, the offense was super elite last year and still super elite this year, but on the margins, probably a little bit worse, a little bit less consistent this year. I think for USC, you've got to see something next year. I mean, I think that's the position more that Lincoln Riley is in now. Is he's lost, I think with this year, he lost a little bit of that goodwill, that sense of, you know, I'm, you know, what I say goes, what happens here goes. And now I think for a lot of the USC fan base, and this is just my read from outside of it, but a lot of the USC fan base, it's now in, okay, prove it mode. Because I think a lot of people had expectations that, and fair or not, a lot of people had expectations that this year was going to be the real playoff contending year. So to go 7-5 is a major disappointment. And I think now people going into next year are going to be, no. Now you have to really compete for a playoff. That has to happen next year. And I think that's the expectations that are going to be set for Lincoln Riley. And I think anything less than that is going to put him on a, I would say, a pretty hot seat by the end of next year.
I mean, that might be a little early, but it's certainly possible. The next,
like, if they go eight and four next year, what do you think kind of seat temperature he's going to have?
Well, I think because everyone, it's unknown of going to the Big Ten too. You know,
right?
I mean, they play LSU, Michigan, Penn State, Wisconsin, like they, you know, Washington, UCLA, like they play a lot of good teams next year. So it's, I think you might get a little bit more of a pass too. This that first year, but the next voicemail we got from Frank, kind of along the same lines, is like, how much time do you give them? I believe he's talking about, like, UCLA, you know, had a bad defense. They go hire D'Anton Lynn, and they're really good. But he was also saying that UCLA was a more physical team, like they like to run the ball more and all that. So he felt like that could be easier to transition if at a place where there's maybe it's more of a physical nature, I guess, overall of the team, than, you know, if their lack of physicality for USC now, like getting a new DC, does that change things too. So he talked about that being a red flag. I think that's me paraphrasing his voicemail.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, nothing changed in UCLA's strength and conditioning from year to year. And the defense went from soft and bad to tough and good. I mean, I don't know. I think a lot of it, we try to find all these like personnel related things, but a lot of times it is just simply coaching. Like it is just simply, does this guy have a better feel for designing a defense and calling plays than that guy? And I think, you know, one thing we can pretty firmly say at this point, earmuffs, Alex Grinch, is that he was a horrible defensive coordinator and called a bad defense, had a bad defensive structure. And the end result was, you know, it wasn't simply that they were bad. It was also like bad personnel decisions. Like, I mean, I don't want to call out names, but some of the guys playing safety for USC are not D1 players. Like, it's just like one of those guys especially. And it's just how does that happen at USC? And how do you, you know, take transfers from guys who are not capable of playing, you know, big snaps at that level? That's the part I don't get. He's got to hire really well there. But I think if he hires well there, there's still a lot of talent on USC's defense. I mean, Bear Alexander is it's a monster. You know, some of those edge rushers are really good. I don't know about linebacker, but I think you stick them in a better scheme, you might be suddenly surprised by how much more competently they play. But they need to get the scheme figured out. And I think, you know, to Frank's potential point, since we can't actually play the voicemail, I think a single hire can improve you significantly. USC was in the SP Plus, they were the 113th best defense this year. UCLA last year was in the SP Plus the 89th best defense. This year, UCLA, with largely the exact same personnel, like really almost entirely, they're the 13th best defense in the SP Plus. They've gone up 70 spots in the SP Plus. That's out there for USC. Like, it's not out of the question that they suddenly become a top 40 defense next year. But the right hire needs to be made, and then probably once again hit up the transfer portal. I don't know if it's at safety, you know, maybe some linebacker help, but you know, shore that up, and you might be amazed by how much better that defense looks.
Okay.
All right, what's next? This is another voicemail. This is from Mark in Sacramento. Funny anecdote. I don't know. Got any idea what this is about?
Pretty long.
It's pretty long. So the problem is the transcription here was not very good, and so I can't even get to a question here. I think it's just an anecdote.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll play this next week when we've got our apparatus back set up.
Yeah. And then I think Perk has the last voicemail.
Oh, he's asking about Chip Kelly and UCLA. Okay. So Chip Kelly certainly looks as if he's staying at UCLA now. And if you were listening to our show last week, that was not the way it looked prior to UCLA, USC. Best I can share is that the UCLA athletic department, athletic director, was sharing with a lot of folks that he was contemplating a change. And then once that word got out, they decided they weren't going to do that. And that's the long and the short of it. So I would say, you know, looking at UCLA's future with Chip Kelly, I don't know what the path forward is. Recruiting is in pretty bad shape with NIL funding for football. Basketball's okay because basketball does well. But football, you know, they're 34 and 33 in the Chip Kelly era. So weirdly enough, not a ton of excitement to donate to football. And they're going to lose a lot. It's hard to pick out exactly who, but they're going to lose a lot of that defense. this offseason. I mean, just first and foremost, Leatu Latu is obviously going to go to the NFL. So there's just a lot of pieces that they have to replace with not a lot of resources to do so. And so going into the Big Ten first year, it's a dicey proposition without, a new regime bringing a lot of energy and bringing a lot of funding, because that's the thing that happens when you get a new coach. You have excitement that immediately leads to donations, NIL, all that kind of stuff that can boost your roster immediately in this new era. But it doesn't look like that's going to happen now. The story of why that's happening with UCLA and their level of seriousness about contending in the Big Ten, I think, is a question mark.
Makes sense. Okay. I got a few, let you go. I got a few stats I can throw at you. Fun facts.
I would love fun facts, Ryan. Please throw them at me.
Okay. I'll just do a couple of these. Which team in the Pac-12 do you think their quarterback has the highest percentage of their rushing yardage?
Ooh.
Quarterbacks. Yeah.
Quarterbacks with the highest percentage of rushing yardage.
Yeah, the team's rushing yardage. Whose quarterbacks have run for the most on their team?
Is that Stanford?
It is Stanford. 42.5%.
Jeez.
I know, it's the highest in the Pac-12, which is crazy. Speaking of rushing, Oregon State has 25 straight games where they run for at least 125 yards. Air Force has got the longest streak at 51 games, but Oregon State is the second longest streak. So like last week, USC ran for 3 against Oregon State. Against UCLA. Oregon State, 25 straight games, at least 125 rushing yards. So that's pretty impressive. How about this? Who's given up like the fewest sacks?
Fewest sacks, I'm going to go with Oregon.
In fact, 24 games since the start of last season, they've only had 10 sacks allowed. So it's the fewest number of sacks in FBS over that time period. So fewest in the country over the last 2 years, which is crazy.
And that's Oregon.
That's Oregon, yeah.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah, you're right. Shador Sanders, he is the single season pass yardage leader for Colorado with 3,230, but he's 2 TD passes behind to become the school's TD leader. So if he doesn't play, he won't be able to get that one. Cam Scadabo has punted 8 times this season, 42.3 average, not bad. He is the first Pac-12 running back on record to have multiple punts in a season. And then, that was my last one.
Oh, those are good. I love the little quiz show at the end. That's nice.
It was like quiz, facts, quiz, you know. You got those quizzes right.
Yeah, wow. Yeah. I do watch the games. I pay attention. People, haters.
Yeah.
All right, do we have anything else? Have you looked at the YouTube questions? Any YouTube questions today?
We don't. Any super chats?
Any super chats? Any West Texas mic comparisons anyone would like to listen to? No,
you'd have some feedback about the West.
Yeah, no, I got some too. There's a lot of people who don't. I think a lot of people hate West Texas Mike. It's very sad.
Apparently they do, but I do like the suggestion. Or God, I forget what the email was, but like say someone super chats like $5, whatever the topic is, you give them that like $5 worth
tight,
of time,
a tight 15 seconds.
But if they give like $25, you could talk a little bit longer about.
And if you give us $100, we'll talk about the whatever it is for the whole show.
Yeah, this is great.
Yeah, I love it. All right, well then that's it. That was a tight show.
It was. Well, we're both, you know, it's like holiday stuff. We got a game tonight.
It's the holiday season.
No? What's your favorite Christmas movie?
Favorite Christmas movie? Boy, Christmas Story.
Yeah,
I don't know. I can go with any of them. Home Alone. I mean, my kids really were into Home Alone for a while.
Home Alone's good. I do like Christmas Story. It's probably my favorite one. I have to watch it at least once. Like,
What's your favorite Christmas song?
Someone asked me this recently. I kind of like the one that ended up being like canceled because it was rapey, like the
Baby It's Cold Outside. You like
Baby It's Cold Outside?
The song itself, no. I haven't really enjoyed.
I like the song, but then it got canceled, so I don't think I can like it anymore.
I wasn't the waitresses.
The waitresses' Christmas wrapping is a really fun one. Have you heard that one? It's kind of cool.
I think I have.
But like Jingle Bells, or you know, I like the you know anything Frank Sinatra does. I'm not a big like who's the one? Who's the real popular one? The pop star she
Mariah Carey.
Yeah, like that. Everyone loves that. Like that's you know.
No, I hate that song. I hate that song. Yeah. Modern Christmas stuff is just kind of yeah. I don't want to listen to that. Give me some Nat King Cole. Give me some.
Oh yeah, so good. Yeah.
Yeah. Give me some of the classics. I'm a big O Holy Night guy. Like, and the weird thing is, I'm not a religious fella. I'm not a Christian. Yeah. But like Christmas music, it's like the one thing to be like, you know what? I can get in touch with my like Protestant Catholic roots. Like I can feel it here. You know, it's good shit. It's the good stuff. Okay. Well, good. Good. Go team.
Yeah. I love it. Is Die Hard a Christmas movie?
I mean, does it matter? Is it a good movie? It's a good movie. I mean, if it gives you that Christmas feeling. The thing is, a Christmas movie is more about the Christmas feeling than anything, right? Yes. Does it give you the Christmas feeling? Or does it give you an action movie with, you know, Bruce Willis stepping on glass feeling?
I think it gives me both.
If it gives you the feeling, I mean, this is all in the perspective of the one observing, right? You know?
Yeah. There's a Instagram ad I see. It's like a T-shirt. I kind of want to buy it. Have you seen this? It's like Nakatomi Plaza, like Christmas 1989 or whatever the hell the year it was. It's something like that. It's kind of funny. So it's just like, you know, it's like a Christmas shirt with the Nakatomi Plaza on it.
Just that's like, awesome.
Right off the 405, like Century City or something. Is that where that building?
Yeah. Yes. I think
it's what it, yeah. Like the actual, like, oh, that's the Die Hard building, you know.
Nakatomi Tower.
Nakatomi Tower. Yeah. Sweet. All right. Well, good stuff, David. I hope you had a wonderful Thanksgiving. It was great to catch up with you and hope you had a wonderful time. Did UCLA? I honestly didn't. I saw they lost the first game, but then they won. Did they keep winning?
No. So they beat Chaminade, which is the D2 team, and then they lost two kind of close ones. They lost by 2 to Marquette and 4 to Gonzaga.
Okay. So good. I mean, there was a lot of really good teams in that thing, man. That was like crazy.
No, it was a really stacked field. UCLA ended up on the wrong side of it, so they got stuck playing Chaminade. If you were on the opposite end, you would have been in the, you know, bracket where you don't have to play Chaminade, which would have been better because you want more opportunities to stack wins. Like Chaminade, the game doesn't matter. But yeah, I mean, it was a cool thing. They did it in Oahu instead of Maui, where they usually do it, because of the fires. So, yeah, took the kids. They had fun. I had to. So the last game tipped at 7 p.m. Hawaii time on Wednesday. My flight out of Honolulu was 10:55. So I had to watch the game, do the post game stuff, and then get to the airport all in 3 hours and 55 minutes.
Yeah,
a little stressful. I don't like doing that. I'm a get to the airport guy like 2.5 hours before a plane flight.
I don't usually go that early, but if I'm on United, I like to get there early and just go to the club and have a drink and chill. Yeah. I like doing that.
Yeah. No, I don't like being late. I don't like walking onto a plane after it's already opened the boarding doors. Like I wanna be lined up like a lemming.
Cool. All right. Well, I guess that's going to wrap things up. It's a great show. Hopefully everyone enjoyed it and hope you enjoyed your Thanksgiving and enjoy the rest of your holiday weekend. For David Woods, I am Ryan Abraham, and I hope you also enjoyed our show, and we will talk to you next time.
Bye.